you have to surround yourself with good people and good professionals, and don't try to do everything by yourself. So that's one point. Then that's a rewarding part of being a member of a good team, is that you get a lot of personal satisfaction when you see that your team has achieved a certain result. So when your knowledge and skills are useful, that's what's the most rewarding part. And the most challenging part, of course, is when you realize that there are certain things beyond your control. Regardless of how much you try, your negotiations may fail, or your client may walk away. So don't get offended or don't get worried about these kind of results. This is part of the experience. It's not important that you fall. It's important that you get up again and walk again. So it's not necessarily that every negotiation has to be successful. There are certain things that you have to give up for the future. So and maybe it's not the right time. So most rewarding thing is that when you feel you are useful to other people, to other organizations, your team, and whatnot. And most challenging is that when you know this could, an issue can be resolved, but it's beyond your control, beyond your area of expertise, or beyond your mandate, so to speak.
Definitely agree with you. Obviously, everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses.
Absolutely.
And it all comes down to realizing what you're good at, what you're not good at, admitting to where you need to, where improvements need to take place. And if you're the type of person who tries to manage everything and, you know, complete the job, let's say you're one person and you want to do the entire project on your own.
That's impossible.
You can't. You'll burn out very quickly.
And the result will not be as you expected.
This is very true. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because at the NATO Association of Canada, I've had many opportunities to manage and work on conferences, roundtables, events. And as a project manager, I oftentimes, what I do is I look at what each editor is good at, and then I play on the strengths of certain editors. And we have a great team of professionals. And as the program editor of Global Horizons, I have to say that it's been a great privilege and an honor to collaborate with such a strong team. And it really does make a huge difference when you have individuals who are team players and who are committed to, you know, ensuring that an event is a success. And you can see when someone's passionate, and you can see when someone gives it 100%. And it really does make a difference. So that point about working with your colleagues and understanding the significance and impact of teamwork is
absolutely
highly relevant and essential to success in many areas.
Yes, and humans are social creatures, right? We are not an individual organisms that can survive on our own. In professional life and personal life, you need other people's help, and you gotta help other people too, other people's too. So this goes both ways. It's a two-way street. It's not that I'm the greatest and I can do everything by myself. No, it's not like that.
It's very true. On top of being a great team player, you are also a well-rounded entrepreneur and a very strong negotiator. These skills allow you to deliver results with precision and efficiency. For those who are interested in pursuing a career in negotiation, what would you say are some of the most significant skills that are required to be a successful negotiator?
Mm-hmm. Very good question, and it will take at least 1 hour to discuss, but in a brief bullet points, I think I will be repeating a lot of successful negotiators that I read and I witnessed. These are the professions that went through so many negotiations that they can provide you with great tips. So I will be repeating those kind of professionals.
Certainly.
So In any kind of dealing, one needs to be gentle, friendly, and professional. So it's not the time when winner takes it all. You smash your opponent and you take everything that they own. It's not that world anymore. It's more like we both take something out of this negotiation. So being gentle, being friendly takes you a long way. And you have to also, if there are any mistakes or weaknesses or some shortcomings on both sides, your own team or the opponent or on the other side of the table, if you see some weaknesses or some mistakes, you gotta be forgiving the mistakes and helping them out too in a certain way. It's not like, oh, I'm so much smarter than you and I would crash you now in the negotiation table. No, that doesn't take you anywhere. And don't forget that you are in the business of negotiating. So you are not in the business of exterminating other party. You are in the business of negotiating, and this is not a war. This is negotiation. This is, call it collaboration, going to the mutually accepted result. And this should guide you throughout the process. You are there to work with those parties, talk to them, listen to them carefully, and come up with a good result that are sustainable. You can win this negotiation if you want to win it, but the next negotiation, you may lose it. It's not always a win or lose situation. It should be win-win. So, and most importantly, you have to show respect to the other party, no matter who they are, how professional or how experienced they are. You have to show respect, and you will get back the respect that you show. It's not only how many law degrees you have or how many deals you've closed before. It's you as a human being on a negotiation table takes you a long way. So skills required, of course, there are standard sets of skills in any legal profession or any professional life. It's very good listening skills. Try to listen with utmost attention to what others say. And try to, sometimes the negotiations can be boring and long. So you have to be engaged and focused regardless of these features of negotiations. And try to summarize during the process what was said or what was agreed, and try to ask questions for clarifications. Because the process is so long, people may tend to forget what was said at the very beginning, what we discussed, and several rounds of negotiations will result in that memory loss that people don't remember. So try to summarize, try to put it on a paper. And also other skills needed are, try to do your homework very well. Be aware of the interests of other parties, their challenges, limitations, and needs, what they're trying to achieve in this negotiation. And recognize those needs. Don't say, oh, you need this, I will not give you this. It's not a smart way of proceeding. And realize, as I said before, that not all negotiations are completed successfully. Even a failed negotiation shouldn't worsen your relationship with the other party. If you cannot agree, say goodbye respectfully and say that you will look forward to working in the future. You don't have to say you are unreasonable or so on. So you have to be respectful even when you say goodbye. So.
Certainly, and that degree of professionalism oftentimes takes one a long way. I oftentimes say that to build a reputation takes a lot of time. Having that credibility, being viewed and deemed as a credible person, is one thing. But also when dealing with various individuals, whether it be government officials or diplomats or clients or members of the community, you always have to have the understanding that you're there for a purpose, you're there for a reason. People, although having an education is highly valuable, people don't necessarily care if you have a law degree from Harvard or if you have a PhD in law or
yes.
if you go to some of the best schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's relevant. What's relevant is, of course, education is something that no one can ever take away from you.
Yes.
But what's relevant is your degree of professionalism, your reputation, what people say about you in terms of your characteristics, your work ethic,
mm-hmm.
and also what you have to show. So if you're obviously, if you're dealing in a negotiation and the negotiation isn't going anywhere and the opposing side is, let's say, being unprofessional by being disrespectful, you never know who's watching. You never know if you're, you know, if you react that same way,
mm-hmm.
if another person, a part of the negotiation, might, you know, see how you're acting and then oppose you
yes.
the next time. So that's an interesting point. But at the same time, so obviously it pays off to always be, you know, concise, proficient, and professional when dealing in negotiations. But at the same time, you made an interesting point when you mentioned that even if the negotiation is deemed to be a loss or a failure, it's not necessarily a failure because you can take that negotiation and you can see what strategies, what changes you could have implemented in order to improve next time.
Yes, it's just that this time we couldn't agree, but next time doesn't mean that we will have the same disagreement. Maybe next time we'll be agreeable on certain terms. Just that this time, it's not the right time or not the right place. Just respectfully say goodbye. And because these days in current world, people specialize to certain area, be it aviation or banking or other areas, the industries are so small and people know each other so well. They're so interconnected that your bad reputation can go a lot
everywhere. So
yes.
again, building a strong reputation is it's essential for your success as a whole. I have to say that as a result of working on many complex projects in various industries, you have obtained a high level of cultural intelligence and enhanced business judgment. Please discuss how certain projects have helped you develop a high level of cultural intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that contributed to my knowledge about different cultures and gaining certain level of cultural intelligence is the fact that I lived in many different countries and I learned several languages. This is my passion. I want to learn other cultures. I enjoy working with different people of different backgrounds, learning about their cultural aspects and understanding their languages. So this is the main ingredient. So, and I gained a lot of experience with projects that were challenging when parties are distinct in the sense of culture, business culture, and how they deal with business. And there you can see clearly that there are certain issues viewed differently by different parties. For example, an Asian businessman dealing with a Middle East turned businessman, they may approach to a certain issue, certain body language and certain way of approaching to the matter differently. So you learn a lot from those kind of projects. And also, even within the same cultural camp, let's say Western or Asian or other Russian, let's say, you can see different people, for example, different people approach things differently. So you have to be open-minded all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that they, at the negotiation table or at the meeting, they want to offend you. It's just the way they express their feelings for certain issues. Certain sayings or certain body language can be very disturbing to you, but you have to recognize that people come from different cultures. Maybe you always have to think positively first before inferring negativity. So that's why I think cultural intelligence will, it's a constant process. It's not that, oh, I have this level, it's enough for me. You always learn. You always learn with any projects, whether challenging or easy. You will enrich your cultural intelligence as you go along. Be open-minded in that respect.